Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on compulsory education when we come back. You know, we Americans are the most litigious people in the world, and we believe in our lawyers with a kind of religious fervor. And we've been taught from early childhood that he who represents himself in court has a fool for a client. But what would you say if your plumber said that? What if your plumber said, he who fixes his own pipes has a fool for a client? Or what if your carpenter said that? He who fixes his own steps has a fool for a client. Well, doesn't our common sense tell us that a plumber nor a carpenter who couldn't fix his own pipes or fix his own steps is incompetent? You know, my common sense tells me that a lawyer who can't represent himself has to be just as incompetent as that plumber or carpenter. Well, listen to James Nielsen. He's a professor at the Hastings Law School. Here's what he had to say about it. He said, it's a fact that a student can graduate from this, the fourth largest law school in the United States, without ever having written a pleading, a contract, a will, a promissory note, or a deed. And it's worse than that. Most students graduate from this law school without ever having seen a real, honest-to-God pleading, contract, will, promissory note, or a deed, and a student can graduate without having set foot in a classroom, without ever having spoken to or on behalf of a person in need of advice or counsel, and a student can graduate without once being exposed to the operation of the rules of court. Now, whatever else may be said about this license issued by the state bar, let it be said that for these students and for their clients that it is a cruel hoax. That's Professor James Nielsen of the Hastings Law School. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package when you call. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. It's the place to start. It didn't cost anything. Now, our school, Courtroom Strategy and Procedure, is available on compact disc for adult home education. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Then click onto the archives page and download that free general law CD package yourself. That's georgegordon.org and go to our archives page. All right, let's take a look here at this thing called compulsory education. It started here in the United States back in the 1880s. It started in California in earnest. 1886 was the magic year. Up until that time, we had practiced a different system here in the United States. The system was home school. We believed, under our constitutional form of government, that the responsibility for educating children belonged to the families. And in the southern states here in the United States, we maintained that system until long after the Civil War. And we got a dramatically different result from education in the southern United States, that's the old Confederacy, and in the Yankee country up in New England. It was really different, a really bizarre, radical difference in the outcomes, in morals, and in suicides, and crime. But, you know, the prevailing wisdom of the day was that it's government's responsibility to educate children. It didn't come from our Constitution. You can't find any constitutional provisions for public school in our Constitution. Doesn't exist. Now, we have a federal government that's very involved in education today. But it didn't start that way. It evolved over a long period of time. And, of course, the question arises, is it good? Is it what we wanted? And is it what we want to continue doing? Now, compulsory education comes from the Bible. In case you were wondering, God himself, way, way back at Mount Sinai when we came out of Egypt, had something to say about education. And he required every family, every head of household to educate his children. And that's where the concepts come from here in Anglo-Saxon administration. Now, we've adopted the practice of public education from the pagan nations around us, but we didn't get that, you know, from Babylon, Assyria, and Egypt. We got that concept of education from our God at Mount Sinai. And then over time, we have adopted the Babylonian program. Now, you know, I'm not here to knock the Babylonian program of public school. If that's what you want to do, why, get after it. But I thought we ought to take a report, or make a report, on this system of education. And let's see, well, what's the outcome? Because there's always an outcome. There's always going to be a conclusion. And if this is the conclusion, this is the outcome that you want, you should stick with the program that you're on. If you're dissatisfied with the program for one reason or another, maybe you might want to consider changing them. Here's a couple, three statutes from the Bible. You shall teach them ordinances and laws in Exodus 18:20. And in Exodus 24:12, that you may teach them, Leviticus 10:11, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Leviticus 14, to teach them it is unclean and when it is clean. Deuteronomy 4, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them. So in the Bible, that's just four or five right off the top. There's probably 25 or 30 in here, but I'm just going to give you a little flavor here. The Bible calls for everybody in the nation to have a legal education. Now, here in America, we like to think in terms of technical education. I see Vatterott College advertising all the time on TV. You know, send your kid, or, you know, come yourself to Vatterott and become a professional. Become a technician. Learn how, you know, to be a dental assistant or whatever, you know, whatever they're selling. I'm not opposed to education. Hell, I'm an educator. I run a school. What we're talking about here is compulsory education. Should you be forced to learn something that you don't want to learn, something that you don't want to know? So we take our children here in the United States, and I suspect that most of you people around the world do the same thing, starting at age six, and we institutionalize them, and we send them to a public institution, public school. And I was educated in public school, so don't sit there and say, well, you know, you're just opposed to public school and you don't know what it's all about. Hell, I was handicapped right off the bat. I was institutionalized for the first 12 years of my life. Well, not the first 12, but starting at age 6, for 12 years I was institutionalized. And then I was handicapped at the same time. I came out of the public school system about age 18, just dumb as a box of rocks. Looking back on it now, I take a look at my education and say, my God, I can't believe that you can send somebody to school for 12 years and turn out somebody that stupid. I was suffering from the terminal stupids from 18 to 37. Hell, I couldn't count until I was 37 years old. Now, I learned arithmetic in the public school system and couldn't count. I had credit cards, for crying out loud. That proves my point right there. If you have a credit card in your pocket, you can't count. or you wouldn't have a credit card. Now, am I opposed to credit cards? Hell, I'm not here to tell people how to live their lives. If you want a credit card, get after it. But once you learn how to count, you'll send that credit card back. And as long as you keep that credit card, it's prima facie evidence that you're still unable to count. Now, everybody acts in his own self-interest. Education is actually a good thing, and it's so good that the creator of the universe came up with a compulsory education standard, a compulsory education statute. In fact, there's more than one. And he aimed it at a legal education. So other than in our system here in the United States, you know, we want to educate people to various types of education, and technical education, legal education, medical education, you know, liberal arts education, you know, we turn out students and they become professionals. And the emphasis here in America is to send everybody to college. If the government had its way, everybody in America would be a PhD. Everybody in America would go to college and then go on to graduate school and then go on to get a doctorate if the government had its way. Now, there would be an outcome to that, wouldn't it? Well, what would happen if we send every kid in America to college? Ever thought about that? If we were to succeed, if everybody was encouraged to complete high school and then go on to college and then go on to graduate school and then get their doctorate, which is what every teacher is teaching their students when they come to school. Every kid should go to college. And that's because every teacher is from college. And so naturally, they're going to teach that you should go to college because I went to college. I mean, for a teacher to teach the opposite to that would be the same as saying, well, I went to college, but it was totally unnecessary. Or I went to college, but it was really counterproductive. Or I went to college, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's for everybody. So the guy that goes to college, and I asked my dad this, I said, he'd been in the Army, you know. I said, Dad, do you recommend that I go into the Army? And he said, absolutely. I thought, there isn't anything that's going to straighten you out more than a stint in the Army. And I asked my dad, I said, well, now, you were in the Army, and I noticed that you didn't reenlist. And he said, no, sir, I didn't. And I said, well, would you join the Army today? He says, absolutely not. I said, well, Dad, why are you recommending the Army for me, but you yourself wouldn't do it? And then he said, well, he said, the Army was a good experience. He said, the Army, it was a good experience for everybody that can't learn any other way. And I learned a lot from my dad. He said, you know, experience is the best teacher. It's a god-awful hard way to learn. Now, if there's any way that you can learn from the mistakes of other people, avail yourself of it. Do it. And then pay attention and look at what that guy's doing over there. And then if he gets the results that you'd like to have, you do what he does, do what he did, and you'll get the same results that he got. Now, if you don't want that result, then you want to avoid doing what he's doing. Well, that's just common sense. Now, my old daddy had a lot of good common sense, and he had what we call street sense. I mean, he could rub two nickels together, and he could figure out, you know, how to manage his money. My old daddy could. Now, going back to this question, what would happen if every child went to college and we made a professional out of it? Well, there would be no workers. And that's because college people don't work. Now, let's think about that one for a minute. Because, see, all you college guys are saying, well, but I go to work every day. Well, of course you do, but you don't produce anything. Professionals produce nothing. they're parasites. They consume. Some guy says, well, I'm a doctor. That's exactly what I just told you. I said you go out and consume, but you're not producing anything. Now, doc, don't get mad and turn the radio off too soon here. It is true, you go to your office every day and sick people come to you and you prescribe drugs for them. And that's what they want. They're drug addicts and they need a fix. And so they come to you to get a prescription so that they can go down and get their drug fix. But, doc, you know, you're not living on drugs. What you're living on is wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. And, doc, you ain't producing any wheat, corn, beans, honey, or oil. Doc, pay attention. You drive a car, but you didn't produce the car. And you probably couldn't. You probably couldn't change the spark plugs in it. And you have to have a mechanic do that for you. You don't produce any gasoline to put in the car. You live in a house, but you didn't build the house, and you probably couldn't. The things that all of us need, food, clothing, and shelter, are the things that are being produced by people that work. Now, there are 15 professions, and of the 15 professions, none of them work, and none of them produce anything. Think about it. A lawyer produces what? A doctor produces what? A psychiatrist produces what? You know, they produce nothing, but they all have to have wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil, an automobile, a house, and gasoline to put in the car. And somebody has to go drill that oil well. Somebody's got to go pump that gas. Somebody's got to drive that truck to move that gasoline from point A to the gas station. Somebody's got to build that automobile. Somebody's got to transport it from here to there so that you can get it. Come on. So we want all of our students, all of our children, to go to college to become non-producers. That's the ultimate end. Think about it. There would be no workers. So then we would have to import laborers from Mexico to do the work. Wouldn't we? Because that's what we've done. Now, the foreigners would make up a larger and larger percentage of our population until we would be displaced in our own land. Now, in 1960, we Americans, we white Anglo-Saxons, you know, the guys that came from England, you know, we comprised 90% of our population, and everybody else was 10%. Today, it's 67% white and 33% all others. And by the year 2050, we expect that it will be 50% white and 50% all others. We are being displaced in our own land. Now, if you'll go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 43, there's a prophecy in there that tells you that's exactly what the outcome is going to be. And this outcome came from public school. Public schools. What's bringing this about? Now, if this is what you want, stick with the program because it's a proven winner. But it's got an ultimate outcome. Then by the end of the 21st century, now we're in the 21st century, by the end of this 100-year period, the white Anglo-Saxons in America, just based upon the demographics that we have, will comprise less than 30% of the population, and two-thirds of the population will be all others. So we start off with white Anglo-Saxons. This is our country over here, and when we get all through with our program, at the end of the 21st century, we will be strangers in our own land. Now, doctors, lawyers, teachers, engineers, psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, journalists, dentists, professors, judges, criminologists, physicists, mathematicians, corporate businessmen, bankers, the clergy in the world. You know, these are the kind of people that we would have in our society. But doctors, lawyers, teachers, engineers, psychologists, and psychiatrists, and social workers, and journalists, and dentists, and professors, and judges, and criminologists, and physicists, and mathematicians, and corporate businessmen, and bankers, and clergy, they produce no wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. They don't pump any gas, they don't drill any gas wells or oil wells. They have to be taken care of like drone bees in a beehive. They got to be fed, clothed, and housed to produce their services for us, which are totally unnecessary. Think about it. What in the hell do we need a doctor for? Well, to treat our sicknesses. Why are you sick? To get sick, you had to violate one of the 19 health laws of the Bible. You were guaranteed by contract by your Creator 70 years, 25,550 days of life, without any disease or sickness. You're entitled to that. It's contractual. To screw up that benefit, you got to go out and eat fat, blood, pig, and refined flour so that you can compromise your immune system and plug up your veins and arteries. I mean, you got to smoke cigarettes and poison yourself. You got to do something to make yourself sick. Ordinarily, if you just ate normal food, you know, the kind of food that we grow and pull out of the ground, you know, like a raw carrot. But no, you can't have that. You got to have some Mexican pull the carrot out of the ground, run it through a processing plant, can it, and take all of its vitamins and minerals out of it, and then feed that to you so that you'll have a deficient food source so that you can get sick. I didn't make it this way. I'm just telling you. That's the way it is. Now, these people don't work and they don't want to work. And they want to get paid. And then they want to go out and buy those things that the people that do work and produce and put into the marketplace. Now, what would we have if all of our children went to college? We would have the highest numbers of lawyers in the world with the least amount of justice. And that's exactly where we're at. Now, God told you that He wanted you to have a legal education, and He specified the kind of legal education that He wanted you to have. And we said, no, 1,000 times no. We will not have a legal education out of the Ten Commandments and the statutes, judgments, and commandments of the Creator of the universe. We're going to have a legal education that comes out of Babylon, Egypt, and Greece. And we do. We got more lawyers in this country than any other nation in the world, per capita. In Washington, D.C., one out of every 80 people that live in the city is a lawyer. Isn't that special? And then you have a lack of justice in the process. We would have the highest number of doctors in the world with the highest disease rate. We've got more doctors in the United States per capita than anybody else in the world, and we have the highest rates of disease. And that's what comes when you have a society that's just hell-bent on having everybody educated in college. We would have the highest numbers of doctors in the world with the highest rate of disease, and that's what we've got. We would have the highest number of criminologists, along with the highest crime rate in the world, with more people in jail than anybody in the world. We have more people in our jails than anybody else in the world, including Russia and China. More. We have more criminologists, and we have more crime in America than you can shake a stick at, more than anybody else in the world. And we have the highest rate of people going to college, Dean. I mean, we just love it. We would have the world's largest economy, along with the world's biggest banks and the greatest debt on earth. Got that? $154 trillion worth of debt at all levels here in the United States. We got the world's biggest banks. We got the world's greatest debt. We would have the largest, most expensive education system in the world, and we'd have the world's most ignorant children. We Americans are spending right now $10,000 per year per child. $56 a day is what we're spending on our children to educate them. We spend more money on education than any other people in the world. You got the dumbest kids that you can shake a stick at. Most of them are drug addicts. Well, you know, the ones that aren't on Ritalin are smoking dope and smoking a little crack. Our educational system is about the poorest in the world. The Japanese came over here some years ago, took a look at it, and said we couldn't find a single thing worth emulating in Japan. And that's to the credit of you Japanese, you know. There was, you know, you sent your people over here, took a look at our education system, went back home and said, we didn't see anything in the United States of America worth bringing back to Japan. And when you take American children and you give them tests and you compare them to everybody else in the world, we come out at number 32. We're not the dumbest in the world. That's one thing to be said. But, you know, if you spend more money than anybody else in the world, wouldn't you expect to be the smartest? If we sent all of our children to college, we would have the world's largest and most far-reaching media system and the worst and poorest informed people on planet Earth. And we do. We would have the biggest corporations and multinational companies in the world and the most corrupt business leaders on planet Earth. And boy, have we got them. And they're situated in Wall Street in Washington, D.C. We've got the world's biggest corporations. And we've got the world's most corrupt business leaders. We would have the world's largest and most far-reaching social services network, removing nearly 3 million children from their homes every year. And that's where we're at in the United States. We're now taking around 3 million children out of their homes. We got social ladies crawling out of the woodwork. Everywhere you look, we got social ladies out here. We would have more dentists per capita than any other country in the world, and we would have the highest rate of tooth decay on Earth. If we sent all of our children to college, we'd have more dentists than anybody on Earth. And we do. And we also have the most cavities and the poorest teeth of anybody on Earth. Now, it is true, it is true that with all of our dental science, that we've got better looking teeth than most people in the world. I don't deny that. We got false teeth, and we got caps and implants. And I mean, if you got the money to pay for it, I mean, you just got all these dental services. Now, why do you need all these dental services? Well, because our teeth are rotten. That's why we need the dental services. Well, why are our teeth rotting out of our heads? Well, because of all the sugar and white flour that we eat in this country. So, we've got the poorest diet in the world, but we got the best dentists. Isn't that special? I'm looking around today and I see all these people wearing glasses. I mean, they've got ads on TV. They give you two pairs of glasses for $69.95 now. My God, when I was a kid, it was rare to see somebody wearing glasses. Hell, they're designer glasses today. Today, you know, even if you don't need glasses, you want to wear glasses because everybody else does. It's a designer statement. And so they got glasses everywhere. People are just walking around with glasses up on their heads, kind of like wearing a hat. Used to be years ago when I was a kid, no man would walk out of a house, no woman would dare be seen in public without a hat on her head or on his head. And we've replaced those now with glasses. Everybody walks around, they got glasses sticking up on top of their heads. They don't look through them. They stick them up on top of their heads and walk around. It's a fashion statement. So we'd have the world's largest and most far-reaching social services system and the world's greatest number of dentists per capita, and we do. And in addition, we'd end up with more psychiatrists than every other nation in the world, while at the same time we would have the largest population of mentally unbalanced people on psychotropic drugs like Ritalin and Prozac. I mean, hell, we're giving this Ritalin and Prozac to our kids, you know, starting off in the first grade in this country. Now, great minds do not come from mediocrity. And public schools hold the greatest pool of mediocre minds in the nation. The intelligentsia of America today do not educate their children in public schools. You won't find Ted Kennedy, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, educating their children in public school. Now, there was an exception to that. George Bush sent his kids to public school. And I guess that makes a statement for all of us, doesn't it? Now, this thing of public school, you know, the home school is private tutoring. That's the opposite to public school. The Apostle Paul studied law at the feet of Gamaliel. That's called private tutoring. Public school is a foreign and alien philosophy or ideology. Public school is the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Public school violates 7 statutes of the Mosaic Law or the Law of God. Public school is a criminal enterprise. Public school is staffed by the least competent people in our society. And public school is the poorest form of education among the three. Homeschool is number 1, private school is number 2, and public school is number 3. Now, when I said that public school is staffed by the least competent people in our society, the most competent people in our society, the most intelligent people, are the people who score the highest on tests. So, the first thing we want to do is give you your SAT test. And then those people that score the highest go to law school, number 1, medical school, number 2. Then they go to business school, number 3, engineering school, number 4. And then various other sciences and math, number 5 and 6, and down the line. And guess where public school teachers come in? Second from the bottom. The people who come in last in intelligence are the social workers of America, and right above them, second to last, are the public school teachers. I mean, come on, guys. Let's wake up and smell the coffee here. If you're smart enough to get into law school, are you going to go to law school, or are you going to become a public school teacher? You know, just your common sense ought to tell you that, you know, the people that are the smartest, the best, and the brightest are in those professions that produce the most money, you know, like banking, you know, insurance, and law and medicine and so on. And the people that are in the poorest paying professional jobs are the social workers and the public school teachers, and they're always bitching the most too, aren't they? Complaining about how poor they're getting paid. Hell, they're the dumbest people in the pool. But, you know, compared to me, they're all smarter than I am because I didn't go to college at all. But right now, today, I have 3 people working for me, and all 3 of them have college degrees. And then I don't. Just thought I'd point that out to you. Hey, we're at the halfway point here. I got to give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417 573-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or the publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about compulsory education. Now, we're not opposed to education here at the law school. God himself is not opposed to education, but the kind of education that you receive is at issue. And the compulsory part of the education, compulsory. So you got your government out here and they say, hey, we want you to be educated. Now, they don't tell you about homeschool, and then they don't tell you about parochial school. They tolerate them. They're a part and parcel of our society and our system. But they're not being promoted. What's being promoted here is public school. Everybody's promoting public school. And there's a result that comes from it. We have about 50 million students here in the United States in our public school system. I don't know what the number is. I think it's around 5 or 6 million that's in parochial school, and there's about 3 million in homeschool. So about 9 million are being educated outside the public school system, or about 20%, you know, round numbers. So 80% of our students are being educated in public school, and 20% are being educated in homeschool, private school. Now, there's a result that comes from that. When you take a look at the tests that come from homeschools, here's where it's at. On average, when we test our students here in the United States, they score at what we call the 50th percentile. That's a measurement that they use. I don't know what the hell it means. I haven't got a clue. So I'm just using their numbers. I'm just using their system. And they tell me it's the 50th percentile. Now, if that child in public school goes to an inner-city public school like Washington, D.C., which is the poorest school system in the country, or New Orleans, which is second, followed by Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles, and so on, if you measure those students that are in these inner-city public schools, they score at the 28th percentile, or about half as smart, about half as skilled, about half the ability of the general population of students going to public school. So get those two numbers down. It's 50th percentile in the public school system overall, on average. And if they go to an inner city public school like Cleveland, Detroit, or Chicago, they score at the 28th percentile, damn near half. All right, now, if you send them to a Catholic school, a parochial school, a military school, any kind of private school, which is where all the elite people, you know, send their children, they send them to, you know, private school. They score at the 80th percentile. 50 versus 80. Now you're probably sitting there saying, oh my God, I can't afford to send my kid to a private school. Okay, I'm not sitting here arguing about price with you, not yet. I just wanted to point out that the difference. This is why Ted Kennedy, the Kennedys, and the Bushes, and Bundys, and Carnegies, and Kissingers, and Rockefellers. This is why they send their children to private schools. They send them to Harvard and Yale and Princeton. It's because they get a better education there. They're smarter there. And so they want to send their kid to give them a good education, so they've got the money to do it. Now, of course, the rest of us over here, us poor guys, you know, we can't afford to do that. All right, now, there's the third group. It's called homeschool. Home. Just 3 million American kids go to home school. They're educated by mom and dad, which was the system in vogue in the southern states of the United States up until, oh hell, 1900 or so, you know. And then they, too, you know, got swept up with the public school system, you know, in Alabama and so on. They score at the 86th percentile, a little bit better than private school. A little bit better than private school, 86th percentile. All right, you got these numbers down, kids? Homeschool, they score at the 86th percentile. Private school, 80th percentile. Public school, 50th percentile. Inner city public schools, 28th percentile. You got that? Got the numbers down? 86. Write it down now. 80, 50, and 28. All right. Because now we want to take a look at what does this cost? And it costs money to educate children. The average cost of educating a child here in the United States of America is $10,000 per kid per year. That's $10,000. So put that opposite the 50 on your page there. $10,000. Let me give you a number here. If we take $10,000 and we divide that by 180 days in a year, that's $55.55 a day. So I'm going to put another line over here. 55 per day. That's the most expensive school system in the world. There isn't anybody out there that can spend more money on education than we can. And they can score at the 50th percentile on average. Now, there are some public schools that probably are turning out kids at the 80th percentile or 86th percentile or maybe higher. But, you know, when you take them all into account, it's 50. All right. Now, in the inner city public schools like Washington, D.C., where you have these problem inner city schools, it costs more than $10,000 to educate a child there. It costs anywhere from $14,000 in New York to as high as $22,000 in places like Washington, D.C. and in New Orleans. So it costs, oh my God, oh, this can only come from college. Now, you got to have college-educated people to produce numbers like this. In the inner-city public schools where they score at the 28th percentile costs $14,000 to $22,000 to educate those. Let's just take a mean average here. 14 and 22 equal 36. Okay. And so if we take 36 and divide that by 2, that gives us 18. So let's take an average of $18,000 a year. And let's put that one into our numbers. $18,000 a year. Let's divide that by 180 days in the school year. 180 days. Costs $100 a day to educate this kid in Washington, D.C. To turn out the dumbest people in America costs nearly twice as much as an ordinary public school. I want you to notice this escalation of numbers here. If you educate him in public school, costs you $50 a day. If you educate him in an inner city public school, costs $100 a day. And he turns out to be half as smart. Now, that's setting a trend. The more money you spend on public education, the dumber the kid will become. Let me repeat that. You might have missed it. The more money that you spend on public education, the dumber your kid will become. And so We've got dumb kids here in America. It's a real scandal here in this country, and people are just really up in arms, and they're just talking about, what are we going to do with these school tests? And, you know, we just got to do something about it. So a politician comes along and says, we need to spend more money. We need more teachers. We need more teachers in smaller classrooms. We need to spend more money. Okay, we've been doing that now for about 100 years. And we got a result, and the results are in. And so I just wanted to point this out to you. By the way, these numbers come from the Department of Education. So why don't you get on the computer there, click on to the Department of Education, start asking these numbers. What does it cost to educate a kid in public school? You know, what does it cost in the inner city public schools? You know, what are the average test scores? You know, come on, guys, do your homework here. All right, now let's take this private school. In private school, this is where they have Catholic nuns. And these Catholic schools are really bad. And I got to tell you how bad they are in this country. Because I have a lot of friends, you know, that went to Catholic school. I have never talked to a kid. I've never talked to an adult that has ever gone to Catholic school had a good word for it. I mean, these guys, they come out of the Pope ought to start taking notes over here. And they tell me about how bad the nuns are, how they whip them and make them wear clothes that everybody else is wearing, uniforms. And they have rules. And they enforce the rules with corporal punishment. And they whip them and they hit them and beat them. And they just, everybody reports to me how bad it is. All right, so now with that out of the way. They score at the 80th percentile, and it only costs, on average, $2,500 per student per year. Don't ask me how in the hell these Catholics do this. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. I just want to tell you that the reports that I'm getting is that the Catholic schools, they abuse the students. They beat them and whip them. And they make them wear the same kind of clothes and cut their hair. And they don't let them talk back to the teachers. And they slap them around and they kick them out of school. And if you don't follow the rules, that you can't go to school here. I guess they just don't want everybody walking in their door. Anyway, it only costs $2,500. It costs on average 1/4 as much. And let's just divide 50 by 80 here. And you get a 62% smarter kid for 1/4 as much money. Let's see how much it costs to educate this kid. $2,500 divided by 180 days in a school year. It costs $13.88 to educate this kid in Catholic school. $13.88 a day. Now take a look at this. Average kid in public school, $55 a day. Average kid in Catholic school, $13 a day. How in the hell do they do that? Well, listen, the Baptists are doing the same thing, and the Lutherans, this $2,500 a year is the average for all the parochial schools in the country. No, I don't know if $2,500 per kid per year is too much money, but I'm just telling you that for $2,500, they can get a 60% smarter kid. Now, we come to the last group over here. It's the homeschoolers. These are the people that are so damn bummed out about public and parochial schools and all together. They're anti-religious people or whatever the hell. They're educating their kids at home, so they're buying programs, you know, and teaching their kids on computers and one thing and another. And they're spending, on average, $546 a year. I know that $546 sounds so bad. Let's just round it off to $1,000 a year, okay? $1,000. They're spending $1,000 a year. Let's plug that one in. $1,000. Divided by 180 school days. That's $5.55 a day. All right, now here's what we come up with. If you educate your kid at home in a public school, costs you under $1,000 a year, or about $5.55 a day. 1/10 what it cost to educate this kid in public school. What do you think of that? Now, remember a few minutes ago I said, the more money you spend on education, the dumber the kid will get. For $5 a day, he scores at the 86th percentile. For $13 a day, he scores at the 80th percentile. For $55 a day, he scores at the 50th percentile. For $100 a day, he scores at the 28th percentile. I mean, you're paying for this, kids. And I ain't here to tell you to take your kid out of the Cleveland public schools. I'm not promoting private schools, home schools. I'm not sitting here telling you that, you got to have a charter school or that you need to write to your senator. I'm just giving you the numbers. Got them right off the internet. Now, I haven't been to college, and I ain't too damn smart, and I never claimed to be. But I got to tell you that when I hear some politician tell me that the solution to the education morass that's going on in America is to spend more money and educate more people in college and turn out more teachers, and got to have smaller class sizes over here, the hell are these people selling us? Well, they're selling us $100 a day. You can get a kid that scores at the 28th percentile, whatever the hell that means. Don't ask me. I don't know. I'm not smart. I didn't go to college. But 28 is dumber than 86. I know that. And then I know that 80 is smarter than 50. And I can see what these costs are. Homeschool costs $1,000. Private school costs $2,500. Public school costs $10,000. An inner city public school costs $14,000 to $22,000, depends upon how dumb the kids are to start with. I mean, if you're in Washington, D.C., it costs a hell of a lot more. And you got a woman up here in Washington, D.C., her name is Ree. She's a Korean woman. Can't accuse her of being a racist, because, see, they got this minority woman running the public school system. And she's making progress. Making progress. She's going to fail in the end, because there isn't anybody that can straighten out a public school system. God himself couldn't do it. That's why he never started one to start with. He came up with the homeschool system, which is the best system that you can come up with, is the homeschool system. That's the system that comes from the Bible. It costs $5.55 a day, and you'll score the highest. And here, got one more little statistic I got to give you here. The people who are educating these children in public schools, all of them went to college. Got that? Every single one of them. You can't get a job in the public school system without going to college. You got to do better than that. You got to have a teaching certificate. Got that? I'm writing this down. All right. Now, you got to go to college and you got to get a teaching certificate to get a job in the public school. Okay. Now, the homeschoolers, only 40% have college degrees. Oh, my God. Yep. I ain't lying to you here. Listen to this. 40% went to college. 60% did not go to college and don't have teaching certificates. Oh, it's better than that. Of the 40% of the homeschoolers that do have college degrees, only a small percentage of those, about 15%, have teaching certificates. So that tells you quite a bit right there. 15% of the students that go to the homeschools are being educated by teachers. Now, wait a minute. What does that tell you about the public school system when the teachers don't even want to send their kids to the public school? Well, that's just a small minority, 15%. Here's my point. 60% of the homeschooled children that score the highest academically never went to college, don't have a teaching certificate. Now, how do you like that? Now, I just thought I'd pass that out. Now, it isn't necessary for you to have a college degree to teach your kid in homeschool at home. I know, because that's what we did here. I'm as dumb as a box of rocks. So what I did was I bought the school. I bought it. I think I bought a Baptist school, if I remember right. And you put it on the computer. And hey, they got the books and the whole nine yards, and they'll teach you how to do that. If you want your kid to be smarter than the average public school kid, take him out of the public school and educate him at home. And every state in the union makes provisions for home education. Every state in the union makes provision for this home education program. So you can do it if you want to. Now, the reason that you send your kid to public school is because you do not want to educate your child. You do not want to follow this biblical injunction that says teach your kid and give him a legal education. So that's the real reason why your kid is in public school. It's because you don't mind pumping them out, but you don't want to educate them after you pumped them out. Now, there's a little more responsibility that goes with the program. Sex is great, and reproduction's good, but the education and the duties and responsibilities, you got to feed all them little bread snappers that you're creating and producing. I know, I turned out five, and then I woke up one day and I found, oh my God, now I got seven mouths to feed, and I got to get out here and work and educate these kids, and then feed them, clothe them, house them, and all the rest. And then when I got all through, I got to looking at the numbers, and I got to looking at this program over here, and I said, you know, I'm not sure that sending my kids to public school was one of my better decisions in life. So that's why I thought, well, maybe I ought to put this and put it on the air and tell all you people out there, hey, what the hell is going on here in your public school system? Now, if you got these numbers down, or if you didn't get them down yet, let me run this by you one more time in the last couple minutes here. The highest level is 86th percentile on average. That's homeschool. It costs $1,000 or less per year, $5.55 a day. The 80th percentile, that's private school. That's the Catholics and other religious schools and so on, cost $2,500 a year, or $13.88 a day. The public school costs $10,000 a year on average, $55.55 a day to educate a kid in public school to the 50th percentile. And then if you send him to an inner-city public school, it costs $14,000 to $22,000 a year. That's about $100 a day to educate this kid in an inner-city public school, and he scores at the 28th percentile. The cheapest is homeschool, and the most expensive is the inner-city public school where you spend the most money. So let me repeat it again. The more money that we spend on public education, the dumber our children will be, and our politicians are telling us we need to spend more money. So what they're telling you is, let's dumb our kids down a little bit more by spending more money and hiring more incompetent teachers. We'll talk about this competence story as we progress along. I've got some more information about competence as well. Meanwhile, let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, or sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.